This is KLCC News. I'm Angela Kellner. I'm here in the studio at KLCC with Nick Simmons. He is an American middle distance track athlete, originally from Boise, living now in Springfield, training in Eugene and Seattle. Nick, welcome to KLCC.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You've got a new book out and you're doing the 800 meter race in downtown Springfield. Tell us a little bit about why you do this event in Springfield, this 800 meter race with the community.
Yeah, this community adopted me in 2006 when I moved down. I had recently graduated from Willamette University and chose Springfield and the Eugene area as my home because this really amazing community really cherishes their runners, and they've been so supportive of me over the last 8 years. And so I wanted to give back a little bit. When the mayor's office contacted me in 2012 and talked about the idea of putting on a road race, a straight eight, I said that is something that I would absolutely love to be a part of. And so tonight we'll be running our third annual Nick Simmons Straight Eight.
Give our listeners kind of the inside view of what it's like, people coming out for that race.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. The whole community comes out and lines the street for 800 meters, and we run several different waves of athletes. I, the last couple of years, have run with the kids, the 17 and unders, and I really enjoyed that because I was on my downtime, and after racing, you know, overseas in some of the highest levels of competition, to be able to run with a bunch of kids and not worry about time and just really have fun and see the smiles on their face, that was very rewarding for me. This year, I happen to be in pretty good shape. I took the summer off of racing, and in a time of year where I'm normally not running, I'm actually in good race shape, so I'll be racing. The course record is 2 minutes and 3 seconds. I know that there will be some other great athletes there really pushing me. I think that we will go well under the 2 minute mark. And as this is the only USATF sanctioned road race, whoever holds the course record holds the world record in 800 meter road racing. So you'll see a new world record fall.
You're very competitive.
I am, yeah.
Take us back to 2008, getting to the Olympics. What was that like for you that first time around in 2008?
Yeah, and I've had some great races since then, but I still, you know, looking back on my career, I would still say that's the most memorable race. In this country, you're largely viewed as an amateur if you haven't made an Olympic team. So to have that title next to my name was so crucial in being able to continue my running career. I just remember that night, you know, sleeping in my own bed and waking up and competing at my own track and having this community around me, having all my family and friends around me to share in that moment. No matter what I do, aside from maybe winning an Olympic medal, I think that will always be the most memorable race of my life.
And remind us again how you did in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing.
In 2008, I made it to the semifinals but was unable to advance to the finals. And fortunately, in 2012, I was able to utilize the experience that I had accrued over the 4 years and make the finals, where I finished fifth.
In London.
In London, yeah. And now I'm training for 2016, and I want one of those Olympic medals.
So in 2012, and in the book, you talk about this disappointment of getting so close to the medal. How have you processed that now, you know, 2 years later?
I'm still trying to process it, to be honest. The time I ran in 2012 would have won an Olympic medal at every single Olympic Games except that one. And it just so happened that David Rudisha was on fire that night and set a world record. And I think that my best years of running are still ahead of me. And I've got a great support team around me. I think that returning to the Olympic stage in Rio with the experience and knowledge that I have now, I really believe that I can be a threat for a medal. And if I can make those finals, which is always challenging in the men's 800, I really believe I can come home with a medal.
So you do have a medal.
Tell
us about that.
So I don't have an Olympic medal, but the year after 2012, I was able to pick myself up off the ground, or off the track rather, train very hard, and I went out to the World Championships in Moscow, Russia, where I finished second and won a silver medal, and actually ended the year ranked number 2 in the world.
This is KLCC News. I'm Angela Kellner. We're speaking with Nick Simmons. So you're heading for the 2016 Olympics. Tell us a little bit about your training regimen right now.
I've changed my training up a little bit. Train 7 days a week, year-round, and that was very, very mentally and physically taxing. Now at the age of 30, I find that I need a little bit more rest, and so I'm actually doing 60 miles in 6 days and giving myself a day off Sunday. And I just feel so much happier and more well-rested, just giving myself that one day off.
So now let's talk a little bit about the book. Tell us about the title and how that came about.
Yeah, the book's called Life Outside the Oval Office. And I've created my brand around this idea that we are not employees of the shoe companies, or any of our sponsors for that matter. We're independent contractors and should run our running business as a business, and that's what I do. Nick Simmons LLC is a company that specializes in marketing. Even though most of my marketing is done through my feet on the track, I view this as a business and try to run it exactly as such. So the Oval Office is my business. It's the track. And this book, though it certainly has some business aspects in it and chapters that will delve into those subjects, I wanted to tell my fans what life was like outside of that. And so this takes you from essentially birth through the first 30 years of my life and tells you how a short, stocky white kid from Idaho made two Olympic teams and found the courage and the support that he needed to really speak out about things that I find unjust and to fight for athletes' rights and the rights of other human beings.
You've taken on some pretty big organizations in terms of this issue of sponsorship of athletes. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I really view professional running as a semi-professional sport. When you think about the real professional sports, football, basketball, and many others, they have athlete unions that fight for the athletes' rights, and they have agents that have law degrees, and they're really well protected. And unfortunately, professional runners are kind of out there on their own. They don't really fully understand their rights. And so what I'm largely trying to do is fight for our rights and more than anything, educate my fellow athletes of what their rights actually are. And our rights as independent contractors are just treaded upon at every single turn by the shoe companies, by the governing bodies, both domestically and abroad. And where we have advertising space that is worth so much money, it is being taken from us and sold by the governing bodies to the highest bidder, and pennies of those dollars being sold are actually ever trickled down to the athletes who create the valuable entity in the first place.
So you're sort of being sold as a commodity.
We are. We are billboards. We're billboards that happen to run around really fast. And instead of being able to sell my billboard space as the owner of my billboard, other people, namely the executives at the governing bodies, have confiscated my advertising space and sold it for their gain. And I think that's wrong.
So who are the governing bodies? Mention them.
Namely, who I'm talking about in a non-Olympic year, I would be talking about IAAF and USATF and their restrictive guidelines and practices that prevent me from being able to shop my advertising space around to the highest bidder. In an Olympic year, it's the IOC and the USOC that do that. You may remember Rule 40 was very contentious during the 2012 Olympics, and that essentially says that an athlete is unable to mention their sponsors at any time during the Olympic Games and for 2 weeks prior and following the Olympic Games. All athletes took a huge offense to this because the Olympic sponsors, as much as we appreciate what they're doing for the Olympic movement, did nothing to help me get to the Olympic Games. I need to utilize those few weeks that I have international attention to return the investment that the sponsors have invested in me. If I'm unable to even mention my sponsors in tweets or in interviews, then how am I going to be able to court sponsors to allow me to train for 4 more years? There is a huge pie to be divvied up, but right now, almost none of that is being given to the athletes.
Are other track athletes on the same side as you, and you have fellow...
Yeah, many athletes agree with me. Notable names include Sonia Richards-Ross and Lolo Jones, and these are athletes who are standing by my side, and we've all joined the TFA, the Track and Field Athletes Association, and we're fighting to gain back the rights that have been confiscated from us.
So what's the next race for you, other than the race tonight in Springfield? Where are you headed next?
That's a great question. And if you read Life Outside the Oval Office, you'll know that one of my favorite things in the world to do is drink beer, and particularly drink beer and run. And I happen to be the American record holder at the Beer Mile, which is an event where you drink a beer, run a lap, and you do that 4 times as fast as you can. So my American record stands at 5 minutes and 19 seconds right now. And FlowTrack, a really great partner, is going to be putting on the World Championships of Beer Miling this December in Austin. And I will be out there trying to defend my American record.
I think I would be very sick if I tried to do that.
It's a pain like nothing else. Like I've said, I've run half marathons and grueling races all over the world, and nothing quite compares to the pain of a beer mile.
So you've got this beer sloshing around in you, and the alcohol starts.
Yeah, and you're trying to chug and run and burp all at the same time. It's not fun.
It's not pretty.
It is definitely not pretty.
What do you do in your free time?
Well,
do you have free time?
I do have free time. I would say that it's split between entrepreneurial endeavors and playing in the Pacific Northwest. So I love to fish. I love to climb and hike. I love to hunt. So if I get any free time, I like to do that. I also love to start businesses with my coach, Sam LaPrey. And we've recently started a nationwide product, Run Gum. So Run Performance Gum. It's a caffeine-infused piece of chewing gum that we utilize in our training and competition. And so that's been our big project recently. We launched on October 14th.
Tell us about what you do to prepare. I know you talk in the book a lot about carb loading.
Yeah.
You're a foodie. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that, the love of food, with keeping in such great shape and racing and sort of your dietary issues?
Well, being an athlete that trains here in the Emerald Valley, I'll use a Steve Prefontaine quote, which is, if the furnace is hot enough, it'll burn anything. And that's kind of always been my dietary guideline. I'm running about 10 miles a day, consuming between 5,000 and 6,000 calories a day. I try to eat healthy, balanced meals. My rule is that my plate should be very colorful. So I like to have fruits and vegetables there, but just plowing through protein and carbohydrates at an incredible pace. And so it can be very expensive to fund that. I'm really fortunate to have such a great partner in Brooks Running, who allows me to eat healthy and train hard and really devote, you know, the vast majority of my waking hours towards being the best athlete that I can be.
I mean, where do you see yourself 10 years, 15 years down the road? Coaching?
Yeah. That's a great question. Running has been my primary focus for the majority of my professional career. And I know that one day it's going to have to come to an end. And in Life Outside the Oval Office, I mentioned that there are several goals that I'd like to tackle that have kind of been mutually exclusive from the world of track and field. And athletically, what I'd love to do is climb the seven summits, which are the tallest mountains on every continent. I think that would be a great lifelong project for me. And certainly I would very much like to have a family of my own. And in the book, I discuss the nature of the professional track and field life of being on the road 6 to 8 months out of the year, and how for me that has meant having to postpone having a family of my own. But I know that as soon as I hang up my spikes, that'll be higher on my priority list.
Well, and in the book, you do talk about your life with women, so I'm sure it won't be too hard to find a life partner at some point.
I don't know. I can be a real pain in the butt, I'm told.
Well, Nick Simmons, we really appreciate your time today, coming to KLCC, being one of our local track and field stars, and best of luck to you in the 800 meter tonight and in your Olympic dreams for 2016.
Thank you very much.
For KLCC News, I'm Angela Keldner.